Well, I'm thankful to just have this opportunity to worship this morning with you all and to sing songs that kind of turn our attention to Christ, to think about the reasons why we are thankful, think about the reasons why we can rest and turn to Christ. And, you know, as we draw closer to Christmas, it has been our hope and prayer that as we gather and as we spend time with each other, that Jesus is the main attraction for Christmas, right? The main event during this holiday season is Jesus. And we've been doing this Advent series that we've called Hyped for the Holidays. We've considered the many things that get us excited or enthusiastic about Christmas, but we are reminded that Jesus is truly our joy and delight in this time of year. You know, I think we think about the food and the parties and the decorations and the lights and the gifts and the presents and the time with friends and maybe time off from work and vacations. But really, what should fill our hearts with greater cheer and deeper joy and better celebration is the arrival of Jesus. And so we continue to pray that God would give our hearts and minds a focus that would look to Him, that our eyes would be fixed on Jesus. And that is why we are hyped for the holidays. So 2 weeks ago, we started this sermon series, and we looked at how we are looking forward to something like food and feasting. When we think about the holidays, what gets us excited is sometimes food. We get excited about eating and eating well, right? But ultimately, Jesus is the bread of life. It's Jesus who satisfies us and sustains us and saves us and secures us. He is the one who provides sustenance for our souls. And then last week, we talked about how we look forward to getting gifts or giving gifts. But we talked about how Jesus is the perfect gift. It was God's incredible love that gave us this gift. It was a gift that we absolutely needed, even though we didn't deserve it. But this morning, as we continue to think about the things that get us hyped for the holidays, I want us to think about how we get excited for time off. Maybe this time of year, we get to have a bit of a break. Right, we get a Christmas break, a holiday break. We get some time off from work or from school. And when you're in school, I think winter break or Christmas break is a big deal. And when you're working, you get a little extra time off. Maybe you get a break from your routine. You go on vacation. I remember in high school and in college, one of my favorite things about Christmas break was being able to sleep in for as long as I wanted. Right? I had no classes to wake up for, no music rehearsals, no sports practices, no obligations, no responsibilities. I could just sleep in basically until whenever I wanted or until I got hungry. Of course, I would love it if I could sleep in now during Christmas break, but parents, you know that it's impossible, right? When there's a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old in the house, there's no such thing as sleeping in or even sleeping regularly, right? But sleeping in was great when I was in high school and in college. There's no pressure to get to class on time. There's no anxiety of turning in an assignment or the stress of an upcoming exam. I didn't feel the weight of academic responsibility, and I could just rest and relax as long as I wanted to. And even as adults, we take vacations, we take trips as a way to kind of temporarily let go of some of the responsibilities and obligations that we have at work or at home. It allows us to enjoy a different place or new foods or a change of scenery without worrying about those things that we need to get done. And rest is important for us. It's vital for us. Our physical bodies need rest. But we also need to rest emotionally and mentally. We need time to recharge and to be refreshed. We need time to take a break from the work and the strain of life. It reminds us that life is not just about doing the stuff that we need to do. What's notable in Scripture is that God values rest. Even in the creation narrative, right, when God finished creating the heavens and the earth and the lights and the sun and the moon and the stars, the mountains and the seas and the birds and the animals, and then after He created animal, it says that God rested. Since God is God, He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get weary or worn out. He doesn't need to sleep. He doesn't lose power. And yet the Bible says that God rested on the seventh day of creation. And so what is the purpose of God's rest? Why did God rest? The Hebrew word that's used in Genesis 2:2 for the word rest is the word Shabbat, which is where we get the word Sabbath. And it simply means to stop or cease from working, to cease activity. It was God who stopped working and ceased activity because creation was done. There was nothing more to create. It was finished and it was complete. It's also significant that God rested on the seventh day, which is a biblical number for completion or fullness. The fullness of creation was accomplished. God had completed the job of creating everything, and so on the seventh day, he stopped. There was nothing more to do. God rested. It was a way of saying, it's done. The work is complete. God's rest is because he has completed and finished the work of creation. He's not tired. He's not weary. He's just done. There's nothing more to do. And certainly that's something that we need to learn from. We need to imitate that. We need to recognize there's times for us to stop. We need to pause from our activity. We should have regular rhythms of stopping. And so in that sense, Sabbath is a way of saying, I'm going to stop my regular responsibilities and work and focus on rejoicing in God. Rest reminds us that life is not just an endless stream of work and labor. Rest reminds us that even with all of our responsibilities and tasks and concerns and things to do, our lives are meant for something more. And when our focus is always and only on what we need to get done today and tomorrow and this week, we get tired. We get worn out. We lose energy. We need to regain perspective so that we can recover and recharge and refresh. And so while we might look forward to the holidays where we can take a break and get a Christmas break or a few days off, our passage this morning reminds us that when Jesus came to earth that Christmas day, he offers us rest and the perspective we truly need to have real rest. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. We're looking at verses 28 to 30. Click over there on your device, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. It's also up here on the screen. Let me read this for us, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." What's notable to me about this passage is that Jesus himself offers rest. But the rest he offers is not inactivity, right? It's a different kind of work and calling. Jesus says there is a yoke to put on. There is a burden to bear. Rest reminds us that there is something more than our daily responsibilities, but it does require us to put forth effort in the right places. So first, let's consider that true rest is offered by Christ. That's pretty clear when Jesus is speaking in verse 28, right? He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The labor that is talked about here is a person who actively works or willfully takes up the responsibility and activity that they're supposed to. The heavy laden are those who have a burden or responsibility or work placed upon them. Rest is needed because we're exerting effort. We're preparing something or organizing something or accomplishing something or completing something. There is work that we are doing, and so we do it. There's work that needs to be done. We have to labor. Whether it's a project on our job or a chore at home or a relationship to improve, it's an assignment at school or a task that requires our attention, we toil and strive to get things done. And from that work, we need rest. Because our lives are more than just duty. Being heavy laden is like having a weight or responsibility put upon us. These are obligations assigned to us or placed on us. Maybe fairly or unfairly, we have burdens and duties that we are saddled with. It weighs us down. It overwhelms us. We have labors and heavy ladens. We actively take up work, and we have work that's put on us. And from all of this, we need relief. Jesus understands our need. He knows what it is to labor and to have burdens placed on him. When Jesus came to the earth, he became a man. He put on the frailty and weakness of humanity. This is part of what makes Christmas so incredible, that Jesus would come to this earth. The eternal came to live as earthly. The divine came to dwell as a man. Jesus took on flesh and was born as a child. And he knows the need for rest. He understands our need for rest because he experienced labor. And he was heavy laden. Jesus offers us rest because he can sympathize with our needs. Even though Jesus is fully God, he was also fully man. Scripture tells us that he got hungry, he got thirsty, he got tired. He needed to sleep. We actually see in multiple places in Scripture that Jesus slept. There were times after a busy day of ministry where Jesus goes off to pray, to be by himself. He needed a break. He had to get away from the crowds. He had to send his disciples to be refreshed. So Jesus quietly with the Father to recharge and to be refreshed. So Jesus understands our need for rest. And so he offers it. He understands that life is more than the daily grind and our daily routine. And so Jesus says, come to me. We need rest. We need refocus. Don't just go to bed or to your phone or to a good meal. Jesus says, come to me. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't sleep or have downtime or enjoy a good meal or engage in some form of entertainment to relax. But Jesus is saying true rest and meaningful rest is found in knowing that our lives are meant for him, in going to him. He offers himself as our source of rest. Jesus is the well from whom we draw and drink refreshing waters. He gives us himself as the one who is more vital and necessary than the work that we have to do. So when we take on more and more work, when we feel the weight of more and more responsibility being placed on us, Jesus offers himself. He is what we truly need to focus on. Christmas reminds us there's more to life than what we're just doing here on this earth. Yes, it's good to take a day off. It's good to go on vacation for a week or two. Yes, it feels good to get a nap in when we're feeling drained and tired. Yes, it can be helpful for us to eat a healthy and good meal. Yes, it's nice to read a good book or watch a movie or to see your sports team win. But our souls need more. We need Jesus. And he offers himself to us. And so what does it mean when we go to Jesus? What does it mean that we can find rest in him? What happens when we accept the invitation of Jesus when he says, come to me? As I mentioned before, the rest that we find in Jesus is not doing nothing. It isn't just sleeping in all day or crashing on the couch to watch TV for a few hours. Jesus says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And then in verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus calls us to something greater. These are not words of inactivity or passivity. A yoke was a tool that was used by cattle or oxen to help plow to pull a cart. It was a harness. It was work for oxen and for cattle to do. Jesus is saying true rest involves putting on a yoke. There's work to be done. It's not the yoke of earthly responsibility. True rest is an act of submission to Christ. A yoke was a tool of submission to say, this is what you're going to do, of following somebody else. In the case of an ox or a cattle, it was to follow the farmer. Taking on the yoke of Christ is the willing acceptance of Christ's rule and reign in our lives. Following his leadership, obeying his commands, true rest is submission to Christ. It's reorienting who or what we are slaves to. We are not owned by our jobs. We're not working for our own selfish desires or ambitions or expectations of others. We're not trying to gain more money or possessions to earn fame or status. We are not ultimately beholden to a spouse or a parent or a child or a friend or an earthly goal or a temporary pleasure. If we live and work to please ourselves or someone else or something else, then no matter how much we accomplish, it will always end in futility and frustration. But finding rest in Christ means that we submit to Him as the one whom we belong to. Finding rest in Christ by taking His yoke frees us from the bondage of living for yourself or living for someone else or something else. And the promise that Jesus gives to us is that His yoke is easy. His authority, His leadership over our lives is good. His guidance is good. His leadership is right. His rule is loving. He says in verse 29, "I am gentle and lowly in heart." Gentleness is the quality of possessing great strength under control. It is showing patience, even with great power, and demonstrating the quality of long-suffering. To be lowly in heart is the word that is used for humility and modesty. See, Jesus is not harsh or unkind. His demands are not overwhelming. To follow Christ is to surrender to a compassionate Lord. You see, submitting to Christ is truly rest for our souls because we know that where He leads us is for our good. Psalm 23 tells us that as the great shepherd, Jesus leads us to lie down before quiet waters in green pastures. He restores my soul. So when we submit to the authority and lordship of Christ, He leads us to abundance and restoration. Yes, that sometimes means that He will lead us through difficulties and trials and challenges, even though we walk through the valley of shadow of death by taking on the yoke of Christ. He is gentle and lowly in spirit. We find rest when we submit to Christ. Because no matter what you're doing with your life, you belong to something or someone. You are living for something or someone. It could be yourself, or somebody else, or something else. And if it's not Christ, there will be no rest. No matter how much you accomplish in this life, there will be no rest unless your life is submitted to Christ. But submitting to Christ doesn't come naturally to us, right? There's times that we doubt God's goodness to us. Sometimes we lack trust in His faithfulness. His commands might not look logical to us. But there is greater unrest in following our own ways rather than following God's ways. You remember Jonah? Jonah refused God's command to go to the land of Nineveh. And it landed him in the belly of a fish for 3 days. The Old Testament Israelites were reminded that they continually rebelled against God and refused His directions, and they fell into captivity and slavery. We will ultimately submit to either our own ways or somebody else's or something else's. Or we will submit to God's ways. And only one of those gives us rest. When Jesus came to earth, He opened His arms in invitation. And He says, "Come to Me." True rest is found in submission to Christ. And so when we accept this offer and an invitation to submit to Christ, it means we search and know what the Bible says for our lives. We recognize that we submit to Christ by loving God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. We submit to Christ by loving our neighbor as ourselves. We submit to Christ by seeking Him in prayer. We submit to Christ by making decisions and choices that align with what He wants us to do. We submit to Christ by seeking to please Him and honor Him even in our work. We submit to Christ by listening to and obeying His leading in our lives. And when we submit, when we surrender, we find that His yoke is easy. He is gentle. He is gracious. True rest is submission to Christ. So true rest is offered by Christ. True rest is submission to Christ. But true rest is also discipleship in Christ. Go back up to verse 29. After Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you," He says, "Learn from me." The verb to learn has the same root for the word disciple. Jesus is saying, be a disciple of mine, follow me. A disciple is a learner, an apprentice, a committed follower, and a disciple of Christ is one who follows Christ. In order for us to imitate and emulate him, we follow him. There is rest and relief in patterning your life after the life of Christ. It's saying that when we follow Christ in the way that he acts and speaks and thinks and lives, there is real comfort and peace. Now, the immediate context of this passage is important. Jesus had been rebuking the people for their hard-heartedness toward his ministry. Many of the crowds and people who had come out to see Jesus and hear from him, they were there just to see Jesus perform miracles. They accepted his demonstrations of power, but not the message of his kingdom. See, the people were still bound to the Old Testament law. They were still fixed in this rigid system of religion. The Pharisees had placed a heavy burden on them. They couldn't rest because they were always trying to earn their redemption. They were always trying to earn their rightness with God. Jesus says, come to me. Find in me that there is rest. Know that you don't have to try and earn your salvation. Jesus is saying, salvation is found in me. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Learn from me. He's saying, let me show you the better way. Let me show you that the only way to be right with God is through him. See, in the spiritual sense, there is no rest when people relied upon adherence to the law for salvation, because our sin still separates us from God. No matter how much we do, sin causes unrest. For us, there is no rest when we trust in our abilities or our work or our effort to be right with God. Only Jesus frees us from that. And if you're a Christian, if you've believed in Jesus, then you are free from the bondage of sin. But more than that, you are called every day to keep following Christ, to be a learner of Christ, to be a disciple of Christ. And in that, there is rest. Jesus invites us to come to him, to trust in him, and to know that as we become more and more like him, there is peace. He says, learn from me because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's a call to live like Christ, to live a Christ-centered life. Instead of focusing on what we can do or what we can be in this world, when we become more like Jesus, our hearts and our minds will have rest and peace. What are you striving for? What are you aiming at? What are you working towards? Is it something that this world offers? Or is it to become more like Christ? Jesus says, when you learn from me, when you become more like me, there is rest. There's rest for your souls. One of the key passages in Christmas that we think about is Isaiah 9:6. Tells us that Jesus is known as the Prince of Peace. Biblical peace is wholeness. It's fullness. It's feeling totally fulfilled, lacking nothing. That's the aim of rest, right? We want to feel whole. We want to feel complete. We want to feel fulfilled and at ease and comfortable. Jesus says, I am the Prince of Peace. He embodies restfulness. And so if we become more like him, we gain more peace. And so we commit to following Christ more and more. We learn to live like him by studying scripture to see what his life looks like, by speaking to him so we can speak like him, by observing and understanding what he does, how he thinks, so that we can apply that to our lives. We love others as he loved them. We respond to people the way that he responds to people. We are generous like he is generous. We are obedient to the will of the Father like he is obedient to the will of the Father. We extend grace as he extends grace. We show kindness even to those who are unkind toward us. We forgive when we are wronged. We demonstrate patience as he was patient with us. We can find rest even in the responsibilities that we have here in this life. In your job, we seek to be a worker who lives like Christ. In our schools, We seek to be a student who is like Christ. In our relationships, we seek to be a friend who is like Christ. In our marriages, we seek to be a spouse who is like Christ. In our parenting, we seek to be a mother or a father who is like Christ. And when we do these things, when we learn from Jesus, there is rest even in the responsibilities that we have in this world. There is rest by being a disciple of Christ. True rest is discipleship in Christ. Perhaps you're in a season of great unrest. You're stressed, you're worried, you're busy, you're tired, you're weary, you're overwhelmed, and you're frustrated. Your job, your family, your school, your life circumstances, all of this has become overwhelming. But our Savior and Lord Jesus says, "Come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden." Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Discover that he is gentle and kind. Know that in him there is rest for your souls." During this Christmas season, you're probably looking forward to a time off. You're looking for a vacation, a few days of rest. But let's remember that when Jesus came to this earth that first Christmas, the Prince of Peace came to establish and offer true rest, lasting rest. Our lives are more than what we need to do or what others expect of us. When we turn to Christ, we understand how we can rest in these responsibilities. True rest is offered by Christ. True rest is submission to Christ. True rest is discipleship in Christ. And as we think through this, here are some action steps that invite us to rest. First, we have to accept this invitation of rest. Eternal, lasting, supernatural rest is only found when our sins have been absolved and forgiven. Our disobedience, our rejection of God has caused unrest. Just like the perfection of the Garden of Eden that was ruined by sin, our sinfulness has ruined that peace, that rest that was offered in the Garden of Eden. But Jesus restores us. He redeems us. When he died for our sins, he forgives us. He offers us an eternal rest. And if you've not trusted in Christ as your Savior and rescuer from sin and forgiveness from death, there is no hope of final rest. But if you will trust him right now, you can know that you are saved from sin and that there is eternal rest. A second action step might be for many of us to find rest and comfort by submitting to Christ. Submit and surrender to his authority, his leadership in our lives. We get so caught up with our own lives, what we need to take care of, our responsibilities, we begin to just do it on our own. We focus on what we need to do, our tasks, the things that we have to accomplish. Jesus says, "Take my yoke, submit to me, surrender to the life that I have for you." Maybe we need to take a moment to assess who is really in charge of our lives. Spend some time this week submitting again to the Lord. Wait on him. Surrender to him. Know that whatever your work is, whatever school assignments you have, whatever responsibilities you have at home, whatever you're dealing with, you are ultimately not submitting to that, but to Christ. Thirdly, we know that peace and rest, those are ours when we become more like Jesus through the process of discipleship. This might be hard, but here's an action step for us. Maybe ask your spouse or a close friend, "What is one way that I can start living more like Christ?" What are two things that I can do that will help me become more like Jesus? That's maybe a nice way of saying, where are my faults? What's wrong with me? Ask a spouse or a close friend, how can I live more like Christ? And then commit to that work of the Holy Spirit changing you, of making you and transforming you more like Jesus. Because when we become more like the Prince of Peace, we get peace. In your discipleship, there is greater rest. And so this Christmas, we're looking forward to rest. We're looking for time off, relaxation, maybe sleeping in. But look first to Christ. It is Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who offers himself as our rest. As we submit to him, as we grow in discipleship to be more like him, we find rest. Let's pray. God, all of us are busy. There might have been times even this morning that we were just thinking about the next thing that we have to do today or this afternoon, later this week. But Jesus, you are calling us to find rest in you. God, we recognize that we take on the yoke. We are burdened with things in this life. But you offer a better yoke, a lighter burden. God, help us to submit to you, knowing that in you there's rest for our souls, that our lives are submitted to the one who created us and loves us and works for our good. And God, let us also continue and pursue discipleship to know you better, to become more like you, to know that as we become more and more like the Prince of Peace, we get peace. Oh God, our souls need rest. We need relief. We need comfort. We just need a moment to breathe. Thank you that you offer it. Thank you that we find it in you. Help us to submit to you, to become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.